Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated. Welcome in to everybody, whether you watch the show live or tune in at your own time. We are always glad to have you. The show is part of the Variety Sports Network. And of course, we are originating from the Bradshaw Bourbon Studio. Cheers, everyone. Tonight we will be putting special emphasis on the defensive prospects that could
emphasis.
It's a new Mexican food item at your local restaurant. In any case, that's going to be the focus. We'll touch on a couple of other things Steelers related. We did not have Ben and Scarps last week due to technical and work-related issues.
Work-related?
Why those things would come before this particular program, I really don't know. This should be the priority of everyone involved, and I'll be speaking to Steelers, SCB HR about this problem. In any case, hope everybody's good. Welcome in again. And we wanted to kind of give a special shout out to one of our very loyal viewers, Big Ben's Burner. I hope he's here tonight. I don't know if he will be. He's had a ton of struggles recently going on in his personal life and stuff, and we just want to give him a little shout out. Hope that he's doing well, and
we're thinking about you, buddy.
Definitely thinking about you, man, and miss you here, and hopefully things will move along in the right and positive direction, and you can be back here and everything. And we're thinking about you. And hello to Aaron. I see Claude, the Rickertarian. I love that name, Rickertarian. Those guys are in. Welcome to those hiding in the shadows. You're more than welcome to chat us up. But we also understand people just like to be in the shadows, too. So the Pittsburgh Steelers will be drafting 2 weeks from tonight in the 20th position, sans or barring any sort of trade, but that's the plan. And Ben Anderson, what is the possibility that they go defense at that selection?
Decent, you know. I don't think that corner or safety are their highest needs, are their greatest needs, but let's just say hypothetically that all the offensive tackles are gone, and the centers that they have on their board don't quite meet the grade, you know, for 20, and they've got a really good grade on a corner that's there. Mm-hmm. They may take one. This is a good corner class, but it's really top heavy. It's super top heavy. So, you know, we'll see. Let's just say hypothetically that the kid from
who are you thinking of? Wiggins?
Wiggins is there. Oh. Then yeah, I mean it's possible. We could see something like that.
Yeah, and look, we all know that mock drafts are worth the paper they're printed on. But at the same time, it's always fascinating to see where the draft gurus place some of these guys that Steelers are looking at. And he's a guy that, you know, I've seen as high as like 15, and I've seen him all the way into the second round. So, well, I mean, it just,
he's a light kid. He's not super physical. He's great at tackling, and he's going to get heavier. He's a third year junior. Okay. So he's really young. Mm-hmm. He's going to fill out. His frame is going to fill out. He's tall enough that he's going to get up, you know, to 200 pounds. It's going to take a year or two.
Right.
He weighed 173 at the combine, but he's over 6'1". So this is a guy you can draft and develop, and freak athletes that are young players kind of fit the Steelers prototype for the first round. So Wiggins getting drafted wouldn't shock me. I don't see Terry and Arnold being there. Kenyon Mitchell, probably not. Wiggins, that's a good possibility, you know. And the two kids from Alabama will be there. Kinstry, who I know Scarps is a big fan of because he loves his name.
Kool-Aid.
So, I'm drinking it.
Drink the Kool-Aid with Kool-Aid. Boy, we could make some t-shirts with that guy.
You know, if they took a guy, it wouldn't shock me if they took somebody that they thought they could start out in the slot and then, you know, move around from there. Let's just say hypothetically, they took a guy that they thought he could play field corner. I think Wiggins can do that. He's a really good coverage player, and then move him outside later.
Ian, you follow the trends as close as anybody in terms of the combine meetings, the visits, the pro day discussions, all that. Wiggins so far is one of the few guys that literally checks every box right now. Including as Ben said,
not in run support, but
well, right. I guess I'm just talking about in terms of those meeting parameters that the Steelers usually line up.
Okay.
And Ben mentioned that he's young too. And that typically Najee was the only outlier in recent years. So Ian, what do you see here?
Yeah. And I did a preview of some of the cornerbacks they've met with on steelcityblitz.com. So if people really want to read all about corners, they can read that.
Shout out.
Shameless plug, but Clemson's pro day and Alabama's pro day and Georgia's pro day had the full slate of Khan, Tomlin, Terrell Austin there. They also brought Wiggins in to Pittsburgh for a pre-draft visit. Some of that could have been medical related too, that, you know, the one knock on him is, you know, he had an injury late in the season last year. And then at the combine, he ran an insane, like 4.28 40 and then pulled out with, I think, a groin injury or something like that and didn't do any other drills. Right. It was either a groin or a hip flexor or something like that. But, you know, to Ben's point about him being 173, you know, yeah, running a 4.28 is great. And you see it on tape too, because he's got that catch up speed. But you'd almost rather him fill out to like 185 and slow down a tenth of a second, which might happen if he puts on a little extra weight. But nevertheless, like 4.3 speed is still insane in the defensive backfield. So I think Wiggins will go in the first round. I don't. And certainly could come to Pittsburgh, and a guy with that much speed and long arms and talent, you will take and mold, because like Ben said, he's only 20 years old. So there's a lot there, and he could certainly be the pick. But I think they've done a lot of work on bringing guys in recently, between, you know, Wiggins, who they had in last week. They've brought in a couple other guys, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, who broke his leg at the end of last year, and then just had a recent pro day where he ran a pretty darn good 4.440 and tested like through the roof athletically. And he's a guy who can play anywhere in the defensive backfield. He's returned punts for Iowa, he's blocked kicks for Iowa. So there's a lot to like there with him, that he can play any position in the defensive backfield, from boundary corner to slot corner to safety. His best position may wind up being as a free safety, to be honest, where he can see things in front of him and roam around. But even guys like a Kool-Aid McKinstry,
one of those.
Guys like a Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, you know, if the Steelers decide to trade down, he might be able to be had at, you know, 25, 26, 27. But he could, I mean, you know, if four corners go in front of the Steelers, McKinstry could be the guy at 20 also. He's a guy who he's always very poised and collected on film. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't have the insane long speed, but his speed isn't bad either.
Very smart player.
Very smart player. Yeah. Heralded for his leadership traits, has long, really long arms. Some of the longest arms in this class, I think, actually, as far as cornerbacks go, and can kind of do everything well, but is a physical guy who will stick his nose in against the run. The only thing is he's like 5'11", so he doesn't necessarily have the size to match up with the taller receivers,
right?
But he can do anything pretty well. is a very well-rounded player. So, I mean, I wouldn't hate that either. If you want to talk about guys in later rounds, I really like. Go ahead.
Let me circle back to some of the guys. I want to get Scarps in here. You know, just Scarps. I know you haven't had a chance to dive into the draft as much as the rest of us, but I mean, you've been around the Steelers long enough to know that the drafting of cornerbacks in that first round, there's been a hiccup or two there. What is your just gut feeling right now on if that looked like, as we sit here 2 weeks from tonight, if that looked like it was going to happen, how would you feel about it?
I wouldn't like it. If they go any pick other than an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, I think they're doing themselves wrong. You know, the defensive line is not getting any younger. You know, Larry Ogunjobi is going to be 30. Cam Hayward's going to be 35. Yes, Keona Benton was a pleasant surprise. DeMarvin Leal, I don't know. Dude sounds like he doesn't want it.
Total wild card.
You know, Dean Lowry, you know, they signed Dean Lowry, who's a good depth piece, but I think Dean Lowry's.
Yeah. Dean Lowry's older. Travis Kersky. Travis Kersky,
yes.
Again.
Well,
Dean Lowry. He's 29. He's going to be a guy who can come in and play some spot snaps, spot starts.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be a guy you want to count on week to week.
Him and Larry Ogunjobi are going to be 30 years old in the same week. So, like, you know,
wow.
I really wouldn't hate it if they went defensive line. But you know, I look at
real quickly, and I'm sorry to cut you off. There aren't that many defensive linemen that are projected as first rounders in this draft. There are some edge players, but we're not going to draft an edge in the first round. Let's be honest.
No, I mean, no, but I mean,
and Dad, don't get me wrong. If Byron Murphy's there at 20 and they don't take him, they're fucking stupid.
So that's yes, I agree that Byron Murphy's probably the only defensive lineman that I know enough about to say that. Yes.
Awesome. I mean, yes. My God,
I watched him tonight. He's very good.
You know, you talk about if he's there, yes, I would take him.
I think he's gonna be a top 10 pick.
You're probably right. But, you know, I think they could also get depth pieces on the D-line in later rounds. So if you switch to the offensive line, I've been saying this, I fully expect Dan Moore Jr. to be the starting left tackle. I fully expect Broderick Jones to be at right tackle, which is not his natural position. I don't know. And then, like,
Mark cringes and I flip you off.
No, but, yeah. Like people keep talking about like Nate Herbig being the starting center. He's not a center. I'd rather have James Daniels start at center than, but then it's like, who's going to start right guard? But it's like, I don't know.
I'd rather have Pee Wee Herman at center.
If this team,
RIP, sorry.
And I want to be like, I'm excited about this year just for the fact that they have absolutely upgraded the QB room and they're making moves that they don't normally make. They signed Patrick Queen. Even Elliott's a nice signing. Like, they're doing the right things. They've been very quiet. They have holes to fill. They have needs, but I think that all starts on the offensive line and defensive line. You know, a guy like Russell Wilson is going to drive you crazy.
Yep.
But you need good tackles for him to actually do what he wants to do. And I think I think Broderick Jones is fine. I don't hate Dan Moore as much as other people do, but if there's an offensive tackle there and it's the best available, Dan Moore. Like, you just got to be smart about it.
And then the question just was like, what are the odds that they will? And I understand you not being happy if they take a corner.
Yeah.
I completely understand that. But by the same token, if the situation demands that, like Mims is gone. If Mims is there, you kind of got to take him. He's a freak athlete. He's young. He's going to develop. He fits the prototype. That's a guy you take. If Byron Murphy is there, you run to the... you run your pick in and say, I need this. You run to the podium and say, we're taking this guy. I don't think he's going to be. But, I mean, there are a handful of guys that both fit the Steelers' needs and are great athletes that may not contribute right out of the gate this season. Like Mims, I don't think he will. Like, if they draft him, I think he'll sit for a little while he develops, and that's okay. So, in that case, you know, maybe it would be right, Scarps. Maybe Dan Moore Jr. was to open the season as a starter. Although I think that would suck if Broderick Jones was the right tackle to open the season and then flipped to left.
Yeah.
This draft feels, especially in that first round, like there's a significant amount of guys who have really high ceilings. You know, like Mims, I think the kid from from Penn State, the tackle there, Olu, he feels like a good talented player, but yet there's still a long way to go. I've heard people say that about a few other guys too. So in that regard, I think it's an exciting draft because, as Ben pointed out, you don't necessarily have to get a guy that's going to plug in right away. You have a little bit of time, especially with as young as they are, but is there a guy, Ian, defensively speaking, that and Ben's already mentioned Byron Murphy, goes by Byron Murphy the second, I believe. Is there a guy that falls there that you just would be, regardless of position, oh my God, yes, we have to take that guy?
Oh boy.
Because you know that's going to happen.
Yeah,
always does.
On defense, for me, I think it might be Terrion Arnold because he can play.
Oh God, yes. Oh,
he could play slot or boundary corner right away for you. And right now we need a slot corner, but Dante Jackson's only under contract for one more year. Yep. Joey Porter's only been in the league for 1 year. And a slot corner plays 75% of your snaps. So you could draft Terrion Arnold right now, play him in the slot this year, and put him on the boundary later. Like, yeah, for me, I think Mitchell might be overall the most talented corner in the draft, but Arnold is the most versatile corner. So, like, Arnold, if he's there, that's a run to the podium pick for me. But I also think the needs on the offensive line outweigh the needs at corner. But like we've said, if five offensive linemen are gone, then you're looking somewhere else probably. So it all depends. But they've also, you know, like we said, I think they're really thinking about trading back. They brought in the tackle from Oklahoma today, Guyton, who's like the sixth or seventh best tackle.
Another he's one kind of a ceiling.
He seems like a boomer bust guy to me, that he's like a fringe first round guy. Yeah. But the other thing, in any given year, most teams are going to have 20 to 25 players with first round grades. And then after that, it's a crapshoot for the last seven picks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you trade down, and to me, kind of anywhere after 20, we're kind of hoping that four quarterbacks go in front of us, but what if only three go? And like, if McCarthy's still there and someone wants to move up for him, you might as well move back. So, because I would not take McCarthy, but
I would take McCarthy only to spite Aaron.
Take it a shitty quarterback at 20. Never heard of it.
That's a great idea. That's unheard of, right, Scarps? We've never done that before. McCarthy is rumored to go anywhere between second.
Oh my God! It's
and the beginning of the second round.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bo Nix to Denver. That's the rumor. That's going to happen with pick number 12. Bo Nix to Denver.
He got 10th year seniors playing.
No, I do not hate Ohio State more than any Michigan fan, Aaron. I hate the whole state of Ohio. both their professional teams.
I mean, the only thing to love there right now is my kid. That's about it.
Wow. Anyone else listening from Aaron's from Ohio? Vinny, who listens sometimes, is from Ohio. We like our listeners from Ohio also.
We like our listeners from there. Right. But I mean, you know, I mean, look what it did to, but look how it screws people up. Look at Scarps. He's all fucked up. Yeah. All because he went to college there for Ohio a handful of years.
That's what happens with you.
The same.
That's what happens.
You go there, you spend time there in your formative years, and it just screws you up bad.
So what happens when you drink out of bathtubs?
Yeah. We every time my son comes home, we have to have like a desensitivity training type thing.
It's like toilet wine, but better.
The cornerback to me, just looking at lists and stuff, there's a couple guys down the board. There's one guy, two guys. Max Melton out of Rutgers.
Yes. He's fast and athletic.
Big, fast, athletic. He's got the length. And then another Michigan guy here. Sorry, Aaron. Mike Sanders still.
Love him.
Former receiver. Pretty much going to be locked in as a nickel guy, though. Mm-hmm.
He is feisty.
He's feisty. He's smart. I really, really do. I like him. I'm biased. I've seen a lot of him. I don't care. He would be wonderful in the slot. Corner position for the Steelers, but again,
and hey, a solid slot corner that could play the position for 10 years. I don't know about you guys. I'd actually be pretty stoked because that is a starter these days.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take either of those guys in the first round, but if either Melton or Sanders still was there in the second round, I would be ecstatic.
I was going to ask. What's too high for those guys? Cause they're going anywhere from the second into the third. You know, and so can you be patient and hope they drop or do you have to grab them?
Let's just hope they don't do another Terrell Edmunds and draft a guy.
Oh God.
You know, at least a round too early.
They did that with Kenny Pickett too.
He wasn't. Oh, Kenny was two rounds too early.
I set you up for that. Yeah.
But you know, Edmunds wasn't a bad player. He was a pretty good player, but he just wasn't a first round talent.
Right.
You know, and if he'd gone in the second round, I would say third, but if he'd gone in the second round, nobody would have been like, this guy's a bust. He sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. This draft feels to me like they should not have any excuse to reach. There are going to be any number of guys there that are going to fit some from spots. And I'm really excited. I know people want to talk about.
Like, I just hope they stick. I hope they stick to their board. I hope that no matter what happens, they stick to the values in their board, because typically when they do that, they do fine. When they take the consolation pick because they have a need, Artie Burns, for example,
yep.
Terrell Edmunds, for example.
Yep.
Things don't go as well.
Yeah. Go for it, Scarps.
So, you know, I think about this, Ben. I agree with you, and I hate that. I'm doing that, but
hey, now, it happens.
No, but I think I messaged. I did. I messaged you guys the other day, and I said, and I love Kevin Colbert. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but it seems that this regime is trying to rid themselves of, not even purposefully, but I think this regime is trying to establish itself. You know, Chukwuma Okorafor, Kenny Pickett, Deontay Johnson. They're making moves with they're moving on from Colbert picks. Mm-hmm. And I know Deontay Johnson got a second contract, but
right.
And so did Chukes. But it's just like, I think that they're trying to establish themselves. So that being said, you know, you're right. Are they going to stay true to themselves in this draft? Because, you know, whether it was a Tomlin, Colbert, or Art the second pick for, you know, Terrell Edmunds, they made the pick,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this regime doesn't reach. Maybe this regime says, you know, we're very comfortable that we're going to get the guy that we want, and we could wait six more picks and pick up an extra second round pick, something like that. You know, if that's what their new philosophy is, and I don't know if that's what it is, they're good for them.
It just feels that way. Yeah.
But I agree. Like, you know, Artie Burns was a project, and I would say he was a reach.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest thing is, did they draft Artie Burns thinking that they had the proper coaching in place to get them to that level? Right. So, like, do they have a better understanding? And this is no disrespect to Carnell Lake, but I don't think Carnell Lake might have been the greatest coach at the time for Artie Burns. Maybe Artie Burns needed someone that was in the league a little bit longer. Maybe Ray Horton, who was there before Carnell, mm-hmm. would have been a better coach for him.
I think Artie's biggest problem was the pieces weren't there in the defensive backfield during the game. you know, when you've got a guy like Minka who's super sharp, you can have lesser players in front of him because he's directing them.
And that's a good point. Artie did not play with Troy.
He played with our buddy Mike Mitchell.
Hey, speaking of Ohio,
and there was a lot of finger pointing after plays, as you recall.
Well, yes, yes.
They also, in my opinion, they reached on Sean Davis. Like
that was disappointing because Sean Davis's rookie season, he was really good, especially in run support. It wasn't great in coverage ever, but
no, I agree.
But he was good in run support, and then he lost that too. It was like, dude, really?
And Jamie, yes, I loved Carnell. Like, he's a great dude. He was a hell of a football player. I think he's underrated. I think Carnell Lake was wonderful, but I just don't necessarily Hall of Fame
player.
Yeah, but I just don't necessarily know if that always translates to being a good coach. And you know, they lost LeBeau after 2014.
Yeah,
lost.
They retired LeBeau. They
retired him.
I think it happens everywhere. You know, you have a gut feeling. Sure. You have a gut feeling, but I do think, as much as I love Kevin, I think he put a lot of faith, and Tomlin did, but I think they put a lot of faith in the people they had in place to coach, and I just don't necessarily think they were the best coaches.
I don't know if this regime is making a move to move past those Colbert draft picks. I think the last five or six drafts of Kevin's career, and Kevin's a borderline Hall of Famer. There's an argument that can be made that he's a Hall of Fame GM. The dude took a team. I don't know if you guys recall this, but in 2000, when he joined the team was, they were not in
good
shape.
It was a mess. Yeah, it was a mess.
Fucking mess. And Tom Modrak left Donahoe. Tom Donahoe left.
Yeah.
And things were not good, and the talent was not, in fact, there, Tom. You kept saying the talent was there, and you even went on record publicly that the talent was there, and you didn't know what the problem was.
Oh, shit. Here's the line of the night right there. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. He hired Scarps.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
I don't know who you are, but I'm going to cheers to that one.
But he borderline Hall of Famer, but his last five or six drafts, let's say five drafts, were not good drafts. And they're moving past those players. They're not moving past Kevin. They're moving past those players because those players didn't work out. And the new philosophy seems to be, and thank God, acknowledge your mistakes and move past them. Let's not hang on to these guys. Let's move on. Let's acknowledge that we made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
As Ian and I have discussed many times on this show, that's a sunk cost. It's done. You can't go back and get that back. You made a mistake. Acknowledge it. Move past it. Move on.
Isn't it also fair to say that the team has kind of gone in a little bit of a different direction, especially offensively anyway? I mean, so naturally you're going to move away from some of those players. I mean, I would say that's part of it.
I think that's a piece of it, but I don't think that offensively they're necessarily getting rid of guys because of that. There's been a lot of tumult on the offensive side of the ball.
Sure.
Because first Randy wasn't real good, and then they brought in Matt Canada to try and spruce up the offense, and he made it worse. And now we got another guy who hopefully is going to be better. I mean, honestly, when it's as bad as it fucking was under Matt Canada, can it get worse?
No.
I mean, the bar is, but
it won't.
The bar is so low that, I mean, honestly, can it get any worse? So
I'm optimistic
about it, but, you know, I think that a number of those picks, Leal.
Right.
I mean, what the fuck? What is going on with that guy?
I'm going to give him this year. It's his third year.
They're giving him camp. And if he doesn't show them something.
No, you might be right.
He's done. Right.
Yeah. Let me circle back around real quick. Ian, you did our post for SteelCityBlitz.com on the cornerbacks. Give me a few more thoughts on that, and we'll move to defensive line.
Yeah, just a couple other names of guys they've brought in for visits and stuff. That obviously we talked about Max Melton, Andrew Phillips from Kentucky. They brought in, he's a guy, decent speed, has some good physicality, but doesn't have a lot of wiggle to him. He's probably better as a zone corner, kind of playing off, reading things in front of him. Maybe better suited for a transition to the slot because he has some physicality too.
I see a slot corner who can play, you know, first and second down.
Yeah.
And they're doing their due diligence on those guys because they know they need them.
Yeah. So, you know, he's a guy to kind of keep an eye on. And then in later rounds, so like this is day three I'm talking about, right? Like if,
yeah.
And I would not be shocked if they double dipped at corner because corner is a position you need six guys at, right? And we have two right now. So, like, I would not be shocked if they picked one in like the second or third round and then picked another one in like the sixth round. We don't have a fifth round pick. So it wouldn't shock me if they double dip at wide receiver and corner, actually. But so farther down the board, some other guys that, you know, kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit that I like. MJ Devonshire from Pitt has obviously local kid, went to Aliquippa, but has some return abilities too, that, you know, returned punts, returned some interceptions for touchdowns. He might be better suited as a safety than as a corner in the long run, but I, you know, local kid, they brought him in for a local visit and has really good hands, has a good eye for the ball, a good knack for what's going on, and can definitely bring it on special teams early on as well. And the other one that I'll throw out there as a probably an undrafted free agent, but just a name to remember when we get around to undrafted free agency,
right,
is Mikey Victor from Alabama State. So he was at the Shrine Bowl, and because Alabama State doesn't have a pro day, he participated at Alabama's pro day where Con Tomlin and Terrell Austin all were. He's a guy with pretty good size. I think he's like 6'2", 200 something. Didn't run super fast, but just like, you know, anytime you get to work out in front of the coaches and you were at the Shrine Bowl, which I know, you know, Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl, Tomlin loves those things. So like they've probably had some contact with him at both of those. So just keep an eye on that for like an undrafted free agent pickup too.
Yeah. Good list. And, I think that's going to be something that we will definitely have to talk about because obviously not every single one of these guys that they meet with or that comes in is necessarily a first or second round guy. These are also guys that they're looking at possibly late rounds and the old UDFA thing, if you will. Mm-hmm. If we look at defensive tackle, and I know Ben already talked a little bit about Byron Murphy, the second, and
I mean,
and
he's not going to be there, but if he was,
he would be a no brainer. He does a lot of things really well. The thing I was really impressed with him that you don't always see with college kids is his ability to read things quickly enough to where he can stop his pass rush and get in the lane. He gets his arms up really well.
He's really twitchy.
Yeah. You don't see that with college guys. I mean, you know, Cam Hayward does that as well as anyone. And I don't know that he did it that well, you know, in his first couple of years. So I was pretty impressed by him.
Cam's smart.
Oh,
that kid is quick. There's a difference.
Yeah. Oh, no. Very, very different. But he's a guy, you've got his defensive line mate there who got himself Tavondre Sweat, got in a little bit of trouble last week. Looks like a DUI, some reckless driving type stuff. So I don't know what that's going to do to his draft stock.
Future Bengal.
Future Bengal. Well played. Yeah. Yeah. That used to be a given. Remember those days? You just knew automatically that guy was going to go to the Bengals somehow.
Generally speaking, I always thought that,
or Raiders maybe.
If whoever was the popular pick for the Steelers to take in the first round, the fourth round, he'd go to the Bengals.
There's some truth to that.
There were a few years.
Vontaze Perfect Ass was at the Steelers facility for a pre-draft visit.
Oh, yeah. Well, they spoke to him in person and realized he was a piece of shit and said, yeah, we're not drafting that kid.
Yes, he was.
And he didn't get drafted at all, if you recall.
No. UDFA, baby.
He did not get drafted at all.
There is a kid at Clemson named Aruk Aroro. Aroro? I can never get his name just right. You want to talk about long, athletic. I think he's probably looking at second round type, you know, type thing. But if you guys haven't had a chance to see this guy, man, incredible length, just wicked athlete. You got Michael Hall, the kid from Ohio State, more of like your true defensive tackle looking guy. I'm sure Aaron can probably speak to him a little bit. God, who else is there down there? Dwayne Carter out of Duke. And then you've got like 12 guys from LSU. And Mason Smith is one. They've had him in. He's another dude with extremely long arms, great athleticism. But they've got him, Mekhi Wingo, Jordan Jefferson. I mean, they just got tons of guys.
There's I did minimal prep, but I like the guy's name, but then I looked more into him, and he has some measurements. Fabian Lovett Sr. from Florida State. He's a day three projected guy, but he's 6'3", 316. Says, I just whooped your ass. There you go. Aaron lost at 316. he ran a 5.40. He has some of the biggest hands, longest arms, and biggest wingspans of any prospect. The thing about him is he's 24 years old. So he's a little bit older, but you know, if you can get a guy like that on day three, you know, that's just the guy that caught my attention. And
Fabian, we don't need a starter right now. We need depth.
He also has a name like he just opened for Frank Sinatra Jr.
I was actually thinking Fabian Lovett Sr. was in Earth, Wind, and Fire. But, you know,
I love it.
And he's a sixth-year senior, so he'll fit right in because Kenny Pickett was a 13th-year senior. So, you know, it's fine.
I thought I'd get the extra year for COVID like that. Year for redshirting medical or something.
So we go back. Yeah.
Some of these guys, it's nuts how long they've been in college.
I know. So 29.
I'm not even joking. 1, 2, 3. Looking at this like projected defensive tackles, I mean, everybody from the fifth round and down, the majority are 5th and 6th year seniors. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's and then you look at other guys who have played for the minimum 3 years.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
third year sophomores, you're like,
Right.
Could be interesting. Let's look at that guy. Go ahead, Ian, please.
Oh, I was going to say one thing I will throw out there, since there's three LSU defensive linemen in this draft class. That was the only pro day that Andy Weidel went to. So keep an eye on those guys later down.
Seriously,
the board.
He only went to one?
Yes.
What the fuck?
That was weird.
Kahn and Tomlin went to four. They went to Michigan,
Clemson,
Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia.
Yep.
Tomlin was unusually quiet this year about pro days. He was unusually absent.
Right. I talked about this last week when it was just Mark and I on the show, but I think right now, like, you're pretty, if you want to follow the trend of like, did Tomlin go to their pro day, you're pretty much down to like six guys that they might.
Yeah. It narrows it right down.
Yeah. It's like, you know, JC Latham from Alabama, the tackle, if he's there, which I don't think he'll be there. You know, Amarius Mims from Georgia, either of the two cornerbacks from Alabama, either Arnold or McKinstry. Wiggins from Clemson, or who is the sixth one? I don't remember. But like those five are like, it narrows it pretty quickly.
Well, and so right there, if you automatically do the math and you figure there's going to be probably four, maybe five quarterbacks taken, you know. So and then of course you chances are you're going to get like a Buffalo that's going to move up to get a receiver.
Yeah,
you know. So
they should.
I mean, Yeah, if I'm them, I am.
Yeah.
Real quick,
there's a lot of good receivers in this draft class too. Like
we'll be it is. It's a really nice class and good offensive line class.
Yes, well. Yes. Claude asked about doing a mock draft show. So what we'll kind of do is on the night of the draft, we'll be on plenty of time before the Steelers actually pick, and we'll do a little bit of that next week too, but we won't do one specific mock draft, but we will put up a link to our actual draft board. We put up our own
Steelers-centric
draft board, if you will. Right. Not general, but more Steelers-centric. So yes and no to answer that for you, Claude.
And don't worry, Claude, Aaron will have no input into the right. Steelers draft board.
He will have none, unless maybe a graphic. No, that's it.
I don't know. If Aaron wants to participate, he can.
Well, he'll just pick all year. Ohio State guys.
Exactly.
Oh, well, he was right about CJ Stroud last year.
He was. Right. He was.
Listen, Aaron, in Aaron's defense, he did have a really good idea earlier about taking Mason Smith in the fourth. Now, I'm not sure.
I can see it in the fourth.
That Mason Smith would be there for the Steelers when they get to their fourth round pick. So I think he'll go early in the fourth or late third. Like a compensatory pick in the third.
Yeah.
Because I think he's got that much potential. But nice player.
And I think
player. Redshirt sophomore. He's a young kid.
Very young.
Got
very
a lot raw. Of ability.
Yep.
It's weird. He's one of these guys that's got really super long arms.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny Pickett hands. Seriously. He's got like 36 inch arms because he's 6'5", right? He's got Kenny Pickett hands. He's got, seriously, like little 8.5-inch hands. It's the, like, weirdest fucking thing. It's like, seriously, dude, like, how can you be that big and have, like, tiny hands, you know?
All right, this is a tangent.
Oh, but it's like Russell Wilson. He's all of, what, 5'11". The guy's got hands
5'10 and change. He's got hands like,
Yeah.
Like, Russell Wilson is shorter than ant shit. Like... You remember Full Metal Jacket? He's like, "How tall are you?" He's like, five foot seven. Sorry, he's like, "How did they stack shit that high?" It's like Russell Wilson's 5'11" on a good day, like me. But but he's got these big ass hands. But do you remember when we drafted Kenny Pickett and like literally every knock against him, everyone was like, "Oh, you're just a hater." But his hand size was a deal. And then he would literally throw these footballs that were terrible. And you'd be like, "Oh, like, is that his hand size?" Like, shut up, you hater. Shut up.
Did he ever throw a ball without a glove on?
No. And then I'm sitting there thinking like, damn, like hand size is important, I guess. You know, I mean, like,
it kind of matters. I will say this for Kenny. He hasn't fumbled as many times as Justin Fields has.
When Kenny runs as much as Justin Fields has, or even takes a risk as much, I agree.
Well, the thing with Fields is he runs around a lot in the backfield, which is where he fumbles.
Yep.
And fumbles in the backfield fucking kill you.
The good thing about Justin Fields is we're not going to have to worry about him until 2025 because Russell Wilson, if he develops, is going to ball out. What do the kids say?
The kids.
Russell Wilson has that riz. So
shut the fuck up.
Drew, Jesus. Another guy who was short but had 10.25-inch hands, Drew Brees.
He did have some hands, didn't he?
Yeah, Drew Brees had a cannon. Actually, Brees had a nice arm until his last year, and then
his last few years it started to float a little.
His last season, I was like, dude. You look mortal.
Short, like shoulder.
Father time is undefeated.
Yes, it is. He is a master.
So back to the D-line real quick. Just one other name I want to throw out there is Christian Boyd from Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
So
massive young man.
Not young, but massive.
Well, right. He is.
He was another Shrine Bowl guy, but they brought him in for a pre-draft visit. But he's another like sixth year senior kind of guy.
Yeah.
Probably won't go till day three and is like already 24 years old.
Yep.
But nevertheless, like, as a day three guy, if you're getting a guy who's, you know, 330 pounds, who can, you know, just eat up blocks in the middle, that's not the worst thing in the world for a day three guy.
Nope.
So
I mean, he's gonna go late. He's projected to go in like
the sixth round.
Yeah.
No, Matt had a very, very early in the discussion, he had a point that especially under Kevin Colbert, whenever we have like 2/3 or 2/4, we almost always find a way to use that to move up one of those. And so I don't think Matt's wrong at all. I can see that possibility, especially when it comes to maybe a center. If we do go in a different direction in round one, and then we want to go up and get JPJ or Frazier, then yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I could see us moving down in the first and then up in the second.
Oh, I'd love it. I would love it.
Go down in the first, get another third, and then have 3/3. Use one of those thirds to move up, like from like 51 to like 35 or something in the second round to get one of those centers. Yeah,
I would love it.
Because I mentioned this in the chat too, but we have four big needs between right tackle, center, wide receiver, and cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
We have four picks in the top 100, but our fourth pick is number 98, and you're not finding a starter at 98. So anything we can do to improve the position, right? Our second pick is number 51. So we only have one top 50 pick. So anything you can do to like get another top 50 pick or, you know, improve the position that you have on day two, I'm all for.
Let's talk a little bit about inside linebacker, because I think obviously we're all thrilled that Patrick Queen is going to be in the middle of the Steelers defense. I think that could be a day three pick. I don't see anything before that. You know, it's not a great inside linebacker class. In fact, there's a distinct possibility you might not see any in the first round. So, you know, I think therefore it kind of falls into our lap that if we really truly are looking at one, then there's some possibilities there. You know, Jeremiah Trotter's kid from Clemson's there.
Am I old?
Tell me about it. You know, I mean, how about Joe Alt, the offensive lineman? Yep. I remember his brother, or excuse me, his father, John Alt, playing for the
and
Chiefs.
Then the kid from Michigan, Chris Jenkins.
Yes,
old man.
Yes, another one.
Holy shit, I'm old. Yeah.
Jamie asked, are we underestimating the impact Queen may have? I'm not. I think he should have a huge impact.
I think he'll have an outstanding impact.
Queen is the best linebacker we've had since Ryan Shazier, and maybe better overall. We'll see, but yeah,
I don't think that's gonna happen. I don't think he's as good as Shazier was, but I think that he's going to be very good. I think Ryan Shazier may have been a Hall of Fame talent who just never learned how to tackle properly. Like, we talked about that shit before it happened. We were just like, man, he's going to hurt himself. And I didn't think he was going to get paralyzed. I thought he'd hurt his neck.
Right. We did. Paralyzed. We talked about it many times. Resign Quan Alexander, Claude. I think they would
see it.
I mean, depends on how his injury is.
And it's not just his injury. He's not going to be healthy for camp, one. And two, you know, they've got some depth there. Holcomb is now a depth player.
No, well, that's what I was going to say, is we don't really know where Holcomb is.
If he can play, right.
Right. That's where I think Alexander comes in.
I mean, Alexander isn't going to be healthy in July, regardless.
Right. No, I agree.
So, you know, he'll be a guy that maybe they'll work out during the season to see how he is, and maybe they'll sign him. But
yeah, and I think they were on a good path last year before they all got hurt. So, you know,
thank God Roberts would play with one arm, right?
Yeah. So dude's good. You know, but sort of like cornerback, you know, I think that they can add to the inside linebacker position later in the draft, and maybe there's some free agents. And you know, one thing, you know, it's a long off season. And one thing, you know, one thing that maybe we lose sight of because it is so early in the off season is that there's cuts, you know, there's going to be guys available in, you know, late August, early September. I mean, look at Kwon Alexander, right?
There's not, you
know,
guys you want. The issue with Alexander was he was available because of his health, because he can't stay healthy.
But when he became
a regular player, he got injured.
Okay. Well, you know,
they re-signed Miles Jack.
Claude, I hope they don't have to. I appreciate him coming in.
As a practice squad guy, maybe.
No disrespect,
I appreciate him coming in, and I thought he played hard when he came back in. But
you know, we need to move on from Miles Jack, Eric Rowe, and everybody else.
I really hope they re-sign Eric Rowe.
I want Rowe to, at the very least, come to camp.
I would like to see Rowe come back and be a fourth or fifth safety.
Telling you,
it wasn't just the fact that he made the plays. KZ is not going to make it through the season without getting suspended.
Right.
He's not.
Want Patrick Peterson back too?
No.
Well, maybe. Okay. Again, it's a fourth or fifth corner. But again, if you don't have a contingency plan in place for the fact that KZ is going to ultimately get suspended, and he is, you're foolish.
Well, yeah. Once you go down that road,
Jamie says, sign Miles Jack. Whether they're being serious or not, but like before Miles Jack came back last year, can we reiterate he had a Blutarski? He had a 0.0 in a full season with the Steelers in 2022. Yes. And then he was only signed last year. He retired. He was like, yeah, I went to the Eagles. I'm done. You know, whatever. And then he came back. I mean, who was the other guy? Who was the other guy we had last year that was
Michael Walker. He signed with Washington or somebody. I was like, Giants? I was like, what the fuck?
He was fucking retired and he was selling counterfeit Pokemon cards or some shit.
Oh, that was Blake Martinez.
Yeah.
Yep. He's selling Pikachu with the wrong spelling.
I wonder if they called him Pikachu in the locker room.
Thanks, George. I appreciate you, George.
Look at this. Dang, even Scarps is making sense. Wow.
whoa. Easy, George.
I those guys last year were only there because we were so down. Like, we had no other options. Like,
how did we? You know, exactly. They all got hurt.
Knock on wood that, like, we don't ever have to go down that path again. But, like, we, you know,
I'm gonna say this out loud. The fact that these guys that they signed off the street started in front of Mark Robinson,
yes,
is damning.
And he's also considered depth right now as an inside linebacker, and I can't buy it. I can't buy it anymore.
On what? On first and second down? On obvious rundowns?
Right. Put him in a short yardage situation.
And this is why, and hey, I'm guilty as anybody. What I say, you know, why doesn't this guy get a chance or whatever? But like, you know, when like everybody on Twitter was like, oh, Mark Robinson needs to start, this is the guy, and he doesn't. That's when you know that the coaches and the head coach and the scouting department know something you don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, I get it. We all want the best for the Steelers, but like, there's a reason why Mark Robinson only plays in certain situations, you know?
Let's not forget he's a converted running back too.
Yes.
You know, I'm not making excuses for him, but it is what it is. Yeah. Ian, you made some points about some other guys that Aaron Curry went to see.
Now here's a guy who pays attention to pro days. just before we move on from inside linebackers, Aaron Curry went to pro days at Kentucky, North Carolina, and Ohio State. So Kentucky, that's Trevon Wallace. North Carolina is Cedric Gray. Ohio State is Tommy Eichenberg and Steel Chambers. So just, you know, names to keep an eye on. Probably those first three between Wallace, Eichenberg, Gray, probably like borderline third, fourth round kind of guys. It's like if you take them in the third, that's probably a reach, but if they're there in the fourth, it's a good pick. So you know, kind of like Jeremiah Trotter too. Like if he's there in the fourth, I'd be like, yeah, that's a good pick in the fourth. If you take him in the third, I'm like, ooh, that might be a little bit of a reach.
The kid I didn't mention was Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. There's a lot of people that like him a lot too, and he's probably looking at second or third round. I think I
like Peyton Wilson out of NC State, but he's old and he's got an injury history.
Love him, but love him.
Yep. If you watch his tape, it's like this dude can play, but can he be healthy? And he's already 24 years old. So how many years do you get out of him? So
I totally agree. I mean, he's fun to watch.
Definitely not. He's not a high draft pick.
No.
There's no first round pick in this inside linebacker class.
I don't think so.
Probably maybe like Junior Colson from Michigan in the middle of the second round, but not for us, but for somebody else. But I would agree
with that take. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, at the beginning of free agency before they signed Queen, I would have been like, yeah, this is a possibility. It might happen. And it's weird. It seems like the Steelers are going into the draft with some obvious holes.
Yeah.
Like they see not just some draftees. They see free agents that they can sign
for sure.
Like between now and the draft or immediately after the draft that can fill some holes if they don't fill those holes in the draft, they seem to feel like they can fill them very easily via free agency. So I don't know. I'm a little bit anxious. That was one of the things I really liked about Kevin was he'd bring people in and he'd have all the holes filled so that, you know, even if they weren't outstanding players, he'd have somebody serviceable plugged into all those holes, or at least who projected to be serviceable. And when before the draft, so that he could just stick to his board, hypothetically. Did they do that every year? I don't think so, because if they had stuck to their draft board every year, they would have had better drafts.
Charlie asked about Eichenberg. To me, Eichenberg is a two down guy, you know, linebacker. He doesn't cover that well based on
and they've already got that guy in Roberts.
Right.
And Roberts is a tough son of a bitch. I know we appreciated him, but I don't know.
Probably didn't celebrate him enough.
People don't give him enough credit. I mean, that dude.
He played through a lot of pain the last few weeks.
With one arm last year for like almost half this fucking season. It just, thank God too, because if he hadn't played, fuck.
By the way, I'd like to thank Jamie for pulling in a Zach Gentry reference. I kind of thought that'd be the end of that with Kenny Pickett gone now, but, anyway,
I don't think Zach is coming back. But if the Steelers did sign him now,
I'd laugh my ass off.
Because if the Steelers and I'm being serious, if the Steelers did sign him now because blocking tight ends play this key role in Arthur Smith's offense.
Yeah.
If they did sign him now, I agree with Scarps for once. I would laugh my fucking ass off. I don't see it. You guys can search the tabloids for what we're talking about. If that rumor got back to Art, he's never playing in Pittsburgh again.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Someone else asked about where we're drafting a corner. I think it's a crapshoot, just depending on how the draft breaks. I mean, it could be first round, could be second round, could be third round. It's going to happen. But
could be first, second, third. Yeah, you know, maybe even the fourth.
And they could double. I think a lot of people are thinking about doubling up on wide receivers. I think the possibility of doubling up on corners is there too. We also forget, and I don't want to make more out of this than it is, but, you know, Corey Trice is coming off an injury, and he does have some ability.
Please.
What? Give the kid a chance at least.
You know what, Mark? You sound like Steelers Twitter right now.
Nah. All I'm saying
When was the last time Corey Trice was able to stay healthy for an entire season?
Exactly. That's all I'm saying is give him. Hey, if we gave Senquez Golson three straight years, you know, and he was hurt every time. Yeah, because they were
fucking stupid. Listen, counting on Corey Trice to be available for an entire season is fucking stupid. It's dumber than counting on KZ being available to play safety for an entire season.
No disagreement. All I'm saying is just give the kid a chance. He had 1 year of IR.
He's super talented. No question.
Yep.
That is true, but he cannot stay healthy.
Right.
And I cannot deny that. If they are projecting him to be available for an entire year, they're dumb.
Yeah. Charlie also mentioned Tip Reiman out of Illinois. He really like him. We'll talk more about the tight ends next week when we do the offense, but yeah, he's creeping up draft boards big time. Right now, any chance of a safety being selected in this particular draft?
Maybe. Honestly, my feeling is there's guys who are listed as corners who may project better at safety, like Cooper DeJean or even MJ Devonshire, that like you could fit those guys in either role.
Mm-hmm.
The true safeties in this draft, like none of them really impressed me, to be honest.
No, and that's kind of where I'm at too. I think, you know, after they signed Deshaun Elliott, I feel like, you know, KZ, but as Ben pointed out, how much can you really rely on him? You know, so I don't see it. I'm sure they'll sign him one or two post draft. Yeah, Aaron brings up James Williams out of Miami. He's an interesting cat, man. He's like 6'4", has experience playing linebacker and safety. You know, it's hard to say, but I don't think they go that direction this year.
That guy's a late day three pick.
Williams?
Yes.
I would have had him early day three, but it is what it is.
No, he's a late
Zach
day
Gentry
three pick.
Signed a 2-year. Wow, $2.2 million with the Raiders. Wow. Well, good for them. Good for Zach. Well, it's tremendous. That's
2-year minimum contract with the Raiders. No signing bonus.
What about edge? Do we see an edge coming in? I feel like we're pretty set there.
Yeah, I think we've got a solid top three there between Watt, Highsmith, and Herbig. So
it kind of depends on if there's a great value pick there. I really thought they'd bring Marcus Golden back already. I thought that he would have been signed.
He's still out there, isn't he?
He is. He's a free agent. And I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but the entire market has slowed down to nothing.
Oh, my God. I don't ever remember it just screeching to a halt like this.
Yeah, after like 2 weeks. And it just feels like the owners are colluding, you know?
Yeah.
Like going, you know what? Let's just all hold off until after the draft so that we can all assess the situation. What do you guys say?
They do have the kid. I think he was San Jose State. He had a decent preseason. Perales, outside linebacker.
David Perales.
Fresno State, I think, wasn't it?
Was it Fresno? Yeah. He was out west somewhere. You know, I heard they like him. I mean, nothing more than a practice squad guy right now, but they like what he does. And, you know, he could be a backup guy at some point, but not yet. So I think they don't do much there.
If Herbig can learn to set the edge or get enough
more
weight in his ass, enough weight in his butt to be able to do so. I mean, seriously, the issue for that guy is
he's got no anchor.
Yeah.
He can't set the point.
So, do we have Steel Dad? I'm sorry. Do we have time to talk about something?
Yes.
Casey?
No, we never have time to talk about anything, Ryan.
Yes.
This show never goes off on a tangent, Ryan.
Never. We never go off the rails on this program.
We have a strict agenda.
Well, Casey's going to go off the rails a little bit later. But Ben, I think it was you that talked about this week, because Josh Allen for the Jaguars signed a pretty big extension. Maybe it wasn't you, Ben. Regardless, you'll talk about it. I know you. But Josh Allen signed a pretty big deal with the extension with the Jaguars.
Jaguars?
Yes. Guaranteed money, but also average per year, etc. So TJ is going to be due an extension next offseason?
Yeah.
Okay.
TJ's deal is going to he's going to compare to the Bosa deal. So that's $34 million. So TJ is going to make $35 million minimum.
Okay, so my point about this is maybe this year it's too early to look at edge, but do you pay TJ Watt that kind of money when he's going to be 30 something years old? And
probably. And here's,
I'm just asking. I'm just asking.
Here's why. Mm-hmm. The dude is incredibly consistent and he's going to be a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
And the Rooneys seem to have regrets about letting Hall of Fame players walk.
Dan does. Dan did.
Yeah,
Dan
all right, did. Fine. Dan fair did. Enough. Maybe Art won't. But I don't see them letting him walk out. I just don't. I also don't see them signing him to a 5-year extension. I think it'll be another 4-year deal. Another 4-year extension.
Omar's a different cat.
Yeah,
he's,
I know.
Proven, but that. Obviously, Art makes the decision, but
he also did the extension that TJ is currently playing on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I don't disagree on that. Anything else for the good of the order before Mr. Kasem returns from the grave?
Uh-oh. I don't have any information on Josh Allen's contract because it hasn't been published yet.
Well, I thought they said the number.
Yeah, well, it was like $150 million over 5 years. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Anyway, for those of you new to the show, this is the point where we turn it over to the late, great Mr. Casey Kasem, who will once again hear from his number one correspondent, Ryan. Take it away, Casey.
Oh, boy. Casey's coast to coast, American top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was April 11th, 1977. Our favorite correspondent, Ryan, is back with us again this week, and he writes, Dear Casey, it's been almost a month since the Steelers traded Kenny Pickett, and yet we're still talking about him. I get it. His ending in Pittsburgh was about as awkward as when you cut the cheese on a first date. Kenny Pickett was like a bad girlfriend. Every once in a while, she'd show you something that would make you think, maybe this could work out. But most of the time, she was absolutely terrible and made you want to jump off a bridge. Casey, I still can't believe they traded Pickett. I've been happier than Marilyn Manson after he got his ribs removed. For those of you who don't know that joke, look it up. And while the Pickett talk is getting old, I got a kick out of the news this week that Kenny Pickett was going to wear number 7 for the Eagles. Sometimes the jokes just write themselves. When you think of number 7, you think of former Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, who once threw 6 touchdowns in back-to-back games. That's right, Casey. Ben threw the same amount of TDs in a game consecutively as Kenny Pickett did all last season. Ben's 12 total TDs in consecutive games are one less than Pickett has thrown his entire career. I'm not telling the Eagles what to do, but perhaps they could have given Pickett a number that better represents his talents. Perhaps 00. Casey? We can only hope and pray that the draft will once and for all end this Pickett talk. You have my word that my future letters will not focus on Kenny. Believe me, there's plenty of material.
Lies.
Like earlier today, when Deontay Johnson tweeted RIP about O.J. Simpson's death, only to delete it shortly after. Talk about a killer tweet, am I right? In all seriousness... In all seriousness, O.J. Simpson was a phenomenal football player who could knife through any defense. Everybody keeps talking about O.J. and this glove, and I never understood that because when O.J. played, nobody wore gloves. Okay, I'm done. Actually, Casey, I'm not done. I'm going to ask you to play something in honor of O.J. Well, Ryan, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. Before I say this week's dedication, I cannot go to hell because I'm already there. Up one spot this week to number 21, here's Rod Stewart with "The First Cut is the Deepest."
Oh, my God!
Wow!
Holy shit!
Oh, wow!
Oh, boy.
Ryan, I'm crying.
Yeah, I am as well. I did
the last of my whiskey.
Cheers, Scarf.
Yeah, Sláinte on that one, my friend. And on that note, before we are inundated with ugly messages from people, thanks so much. Make sure you check out
that was really dude is serious.
Yeah, see, Claude.
I say we do it again next week.
Hey, I didn't kill anybody. You're mad at the wrong guy.
Yeah, but Scarps, people's feelings.
But if you had done it, though, no. Anyway, make sure you check out the site, steelcityblitz.com. We got our draft previews and stuff up there. We'll be having more. We'll get our full Steelers-esque board up as well. We'll have our, at least my last mock draft will be coming. I'm sure these guys will throw one together as well. Yeah, hit the like button, subscribe mock here on drafts. The YouTubes.
Mock drafts all are that stupid.
We know, Ben. You don't like mock drafts. You don't like fantasy They're football. Dumb. You're a hater. We know. Anyway, we're getting the hell out of here. Have a good one, everybody. Thanks so much, all of you, for joining us live. Thanks, everybody, who joins us on your own time. And we will see you next week. And, hey, go Steelers.
Baltimore is still rooting for you, but the Ravens suck.
Oh, well done.